Gospel, chapter 1. We've been looking in chapter 1 of Mark for the last few weeks. But if we wanted a text for this morning, we'd find it actually in Luke's Gospel, chapter 11, verse 20, which reads the words of Jesus, "If I drive out evil by the finger of God, then the kingdom of God has come among you." But the story at the end of Mark's Gospel is about the man with leprosy, verse 40 to 42. "A man with leprosy came to Jesus and begged him on his knees, 'If you are willing, you can make me clean.' Filled with compassion, Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. 'I am willing,' he said, 'be clean.' Immediately the leprosy left him and he was cured." The unique thing about this story, as you probably realize, is that it wasn't just like the other healings that Jesus did. The emphasis is on the fact that he stretched out his hand and touched this man. And the Greek word, you know, the New Testament was originally written in Greek, haptomahi it is, means not just to touch, but actually to attach yourself. Jesus attached himself, as it were, to the man with leprosy. Now, that was forbidden in those days because leprosy was considered an infectious disease, and the man with leprosy would have thought to have been giving his illness to the man who touched him, and the disease would then spread. You may know that... you do know that we were in Africa for many years. I spent a whole week shaking hands with people with leprosy many years ago, and I haven't got the disease. And scholars tell us that leprosy today is different than leprosy in Bible times. In those days, it was a slightly different disease and much more infectious. So Jesus did not become ill, but on the contrary, life went out from him to the man with leprosy, and he was healed. Now, many people who comment on this passage see the story as a picture of God stretching out his hand to us. Christ, the Son of God, becoming one with us as a human being to give us his eternal life. In the youth fellowship last week, we watched the end of a video about our human being in relationship with God. And the speaker in the video was speaking about the Sistine Chapel with the pictures drawn by Michelangelo, some of the most famous paintings in the world, on the ceiling. And right in the center of the ceiling is a picture of God's hand stretching out, really his finger stretching out to man. And man stretching back and the two fingers touching. Maybe you're familiar with the picture. And God is stretching out his hand, giving the touch of life to humankind. And God has always done that, right from the beginning. Genesis 1, the familiar words, God made man in his image. Male and female, he made them. And he breathed into them the breath of life. And man became a living soul. We see this, don't we, in the birth of every new baby. When we experience that, or neighbors or friends have a baby, or in our own family, we're amazed at what has come into the world. When a baby in the mother's womb is only a quarter of an inch long, its heart is already beating, its eyes and mouth have begun to appear. After only 6 or 7 weeks in the mother's womb, its brain activity has begun. And then birth into this world 9 months later is a shock to the baby, pain and cold and bright lights. But the newborn baby, even before he or she is born, is a wonderful mechanism. The eyes which grow at the front of its head contain 125 million tiny little rods, all put together exactly right to enable it to see in black and white. And then there are seven, in the same eyes, there are 7 million cones put in exactly the right position so that he or she can see in color. And the brain activity, which began when the baby was just very, very tiny in the mother's womb, that brain activity, as I've said before, the complexity of the brain is equivalent to the complexity of 50 million telephone exchanges, far more than all the telephone connections by computer and satellite in the world, in one baby's brain. And if you took all the wires out of the brain and joined them all up from one baby, it would stretch from here to the moon and back three times. Now that didn't happen by accident, dear friends. That was the finger of God. But more than just a marvelous physical phenomenon, God instilled in his touch upon us something of himself, so that we wouldn't just be slaves of the physical world, so that we wouldn't simply be governed by the marvelous mechanism he gave us, but he also enabled us with that touch to be free, to love, to hope, to wonder about ourselves and the world, to marvel at his creation, to think about it, to reflect about it, to sing about it, to create music about it. That's what his finger gave to us in the creation of the world and the creation of every new baby. God and man joined together in a relationship unmatched in the universe. But deep in all our human experiences is a darker side. Isn't that so? A rejection of God, jealousy, and hatred. So that we know that as a human race, we are unclean. Jesus said, out of the heart of man come evil thoughts and all the evil things that we see. Out of our heart. Things that seek to tear apart our relationship with God and our relationship with one another and our relationship with the world. Yet in this darkest part of our human experience, God has stretched out his hand, his finger, even further. All the way through history, in our affliction, he too is afflicted. In our sin and wickedness, his heart is touched and grieved. And the focus of that in all of history is his coming to us, not just to touch us, but to embrace us, to attach himself to us, taking us through the cross, through forgiveness, love, into resurrection, taking us to heaven itself. In Michelangelo's picture there on the roof of the Sistine Chapel, God and man reach out to one another. And in the story of the man with leprosy, he too, as it were, reaches out to Jesus. The word which says that he begged Jesus to heal him actually is a word in the Greek meaning to call him near, to invite him earnestly. And the Lord responded to his earnest invitation and call. And that's a picture of the whole of human life. And I have to ask you, and I ask myself, do we reach out to the Lord for forgiveness, renewal, and eternal life as he reaches out to us? We see this longing all over the world. That's why there are religions of many different kinds all over the world. Now, I'm not saying that all the religions in the world are good. They are not all good. Some of them have not had a good effect. Nevertheless, they come from man's awareness that there is more to life than just our physical existence. And our awareness that something has gone wrong, that there is a darker side to us, and something needs to be done about it. And the world religions, as it were, represent a cry from man to God. The man with leprosy says to Jesus, "If you will, you can make me clean." And we read that Jesus was moved with compassion. Now, literally, and you'll find this in the King James Version of the Bible, the Authorized Version of the Bible, it says Jesus had bowels of compassion. That's the exact translation of the Greek. Now, that's not a very polite way of putting it, is it? But at least it teaches us that our emotions, our wills, are bound together with our physical being, our insides, and we all know that, don't we? Physical, emotional, and spiritual all belong together. We can't separate them. Anyway, Jesus says, "I will be clean." God makes a decision to cleanse our lives. And we read that the leprosy departed from the man. And again, in the Greek language, that's a very strong word. That word departed. It means to go right away. It's the same word which is translated in the book of Revelation in those well-known words in chapter 21, verse 4, when God's talking about the new king, the new heaven and the new earth. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things have passed away. All these evil things have gone behind for good. And that's the word that's used of this man's leprosy. It's gone for good, departed. In the resurrection of Jesus, he left death behind, never to face it again. So God stretched out his hand to us in Christ, and Jesus stretched out his hand to the man with leprosy, and we too are called not only to stretch out our hands to God, but to stretch out our hands to one another, especially those in need. When Jesus said, "Blessed are the merciful," he meant, blessed are those who, it literally means, get inside somebody else's skin, to feel as they feel, to sympathize with them, to help them, even when their problem might be their own fault. That's what it means to be merciful. In the Youth Fellowship on a Sunday evening, we've been watching a little bit of a video about Jackie Pullinger. I wonder if you've heard of Jackie Pullinger. She went out to Hong Kong as a missionary, to the worst part of Hong Kong, the walled city, where the police wouldn't go, where none of the services would go. So it was a place of filth and degradation, drug addiction, alcoholism, prostitution, crime, murder and death. And Jackie Pullinger from this country went there, to the walled city, to be with those people, and through prayer and love, many came to Christ. It's a wonderful story. Happened not long ago. But just before Jesus met the man with leprosy, he did something else, and we have to note this, because when we help other people, we've got to be careful. What did he do? He prepared himself. How did he prepare himself? Well, verse 35, very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Where he prayed. Alone. Remember Jesus said, go into your own room, shut the door, and there pray to your Father who is in secret. That's what we must do. Lots of people do it, and lots of people don't do it. People you would never think pray, do pray. And people you think do pray, don't pray. But God knows what is done in secret. we breathe the divine atmosphere, as I said recently, so that we can be effective in the world. Now, the last point. The next verse is after Jesus prayed and before he met the man with leprosy, we read in verse 36, Simon and his companions went to look for him. And when they found him, they exclaimed, Everyone is looking for you. Jesus replied, Let us go somewhere else to the nearby villages so I can preach there also. That is why I have come. He was alone in prayer and the disciples said, Everyone wants you. Come, everyone's looking for you. 9 years ago, when I was inducted into this church, the presbytery invited Eric Alexander to preach the sermon. Some of you may have been there. And because it was a special occasion for me, I remember what he said. He said that he'd been at another induction some time before, where the preacher had said, Jesus was always available for people. And therefore you, the minister, must always be available. And Eric Alexander said, that's great, and he made a note of it. But then he went home and read the Bible, and it was this verse that he read from the end of Mark 1, that Jesus wasn't always available. He wasn't. He needed time to go away and be with his Father in prayer and reflection and study. So that when he was available for people, he'd be more effective. That's what Eric Alexander said. I don't know whether you remember it. Now, in this verse, we read that you and I, not just me, all of us, need time to pray, to reflect, to study, so that when we are available, we'll be strong in the Lord. Prayer is us reaching out, calling out, as it were, to God, seeking the face of him who from the beginning of time has been reaching out to us so that we might reach out to one another. Let us pray. Almighty God, we do bow our heads before you and thank you for your touch upon our lives. So often we take it for granted and we're sorry about this. You long for us to look to you, even for a little while, that we might be alone with you, so that when we're with others, something of your grace and truth might go out from us to them. May that be true for all of us, we pray, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep guard over your hearts and thoughts in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ. And may the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be with you all this day and forevermore.